great paradoxes in life is that the more we try to look after ourselves, the more we care about what's in it for us, the less satisfying life becomes and the less contented we become. I wonder, why is that? I'm Bernie Diamond, and today we're continuing with the final message in the series that I've called Living Life to the Full by Knowing Who I Am. And I really want to explore this paradox with you a little bit more, because if we can figure it out, all of a sudden we'll find ourselves living our lives to the full. So as we share this time together today, I'm praying that God will truly give you a powerful new revelation of His plans and His purposes for your life by His Spirit and His Word. Well, here we are again in this last program of this four-week series that I've called Living Life to the Full by Knowing Who I Am. Now, we can't talk about that without exploring one of life's great paradoxes. Life is full of paradoxes and contradictions and complexities. It's funny how we can see something one way and believe it with all our hearts that that's how it is, and then in an instant we discover it's wrong. Like lemmings, we all rush in one direction, and then just in time someone says, you realise that's a cliff. People and societies chase after this idea or that belief. They believe it with all their hearts, only to discover it doesn't work. Take just one thing. Take consumerism, for example. The advertising industry has a single, very simple mantra that rings out through almost every advertisement you see. It's this: if you buy me, you'll be happy. And to convince us of that, each ad has this glossy image of success, the things we aspire to. In effect, the ad tells us what to aspire to because they define success. Fine dining, business class travel, crystal clear widescreen television, a big house. Who doesn't want those things? But when finally we get there, so what? I mean, great, now what? What's next? Who doesn't want good espresso coffee or to sit in those wide, comfortable seats at the front of the plane or drive a really nice car or have a happy family? You know, when you look at these ads, they really get me. The Father's and the Mother's Day ads on television, these images of happy, well-adjusted children, just what Mum and Dad want. And they race into Mum and Dad's bedroom and they jump on the bed and they give them presents and we think, wow, I'd like my family to be like that. Or the margarine ads, they have happy, smiling, well-adjusted families having morning breakfast and fresh orange juice and slapping the margarine on the toast. Or these watches, you know, these upmarket watches that cost thousands of dollars, surrounded by images of multi-million dollar racing yachts appealing to the man inside the man. Or the four-wheel drives, have you noticed they're always on beautiful wide country roads and never in the maddening peak-hour traffic where most people drive them? Or the washing powder that's going to make your clothes whiter than white and brighter than bright, or the showers that never need cleaning, or germ-free sparking toilets. The list goes on and on and on. And they all have the same message. Buy me and you'll be happy. But the plain, simple fact is that it's not true. Most of those things, they're good. There's nothing wrong with any of those things, but they don't fill us. We don't feel fulfilled because we have a clean shower. Well, we might for a few minutes, but it just doesn't go on, does it? Even career, even power and big salaries and self-actuation, whatever people want out of their career, it doesn't matter what it is, how exciting, how glamorous it is, eventually it all becomes mundane and ho-hum. Now, you might be saying to me, Bernie, what's the matter with you today? I mean, you're all down and pessimistic. Well, actually, I'm not. But I know a lot of people who are. People living on this treadmill all their lives, going round and round and round and round and round, just to discover that it's hollow and that it's empty. You know something? Even the most wonderful marriage on the planet, if something's not right inside each one of us, the marriage ends up being hollow. You see, the problem is we've been conned. We've believed this buy me and you'll be happy mantra. Now, we kind of know it doesn't work, but what's the alternative? We don't know anything else. So we just keep on going round and round the same track again. People swilling around those glossy, ritzy shopping malls. What for? The last 3 weeks on the program, we've been looking at the subject of living life to the full. We all have a sense of destiny, a sense of a life that we should be living, a person that we're meant to be. And so many people have that sense, but they're not living it. A few weeks ago, we started with the fact that God had a plan for you and me before time began. He laid down the very strands of our DNA, the foundations of our lives, who we would be. And when we see ourselves that way through God's eyes, I'll tell you what, you and I look a whole bunch different. And in the second program, we looked at really discovering who we are, discovering what God made me to be and you to be. Not being squeezed into a different mold by what other people say, but really saying, who am I? And that's as much about knowing who I am as knowing who we aren't. And last week, we looked at the fact that it's time to step out into the life that God planned for us. And sometimes that's counterintuitive. Sometimes we don't feel like it's the right time. It's time to believe, instead of staying tangled up in all those old things of the past, those old things that we know just didn't work, it's time to step out into the life that God planned for us. This week, I'd like to unpack this paradox of, on the one hand, we try and fill ourselves with satisfaction and joy and things, and yet the more we stuff in, the emptier we feel. Why is that? Why doesn't it work? Why is it that somehow we try and live our lives kind of the way it's supposed to make sense, but it doesn't make sense? I don't feel fulfilled. I don't feel like I'm being the me I was meant to be. What is that? To me, it's the hardest paradox of all, one that I had to discover in my life the hard way, because when we think about it, being the person I'm meant to be, living my life to the full based on God's plan, We end up swallowing the advertising industry's mantra, hook, line, and sinker. You see, the advertising industry wants to put me in the center of everything and tell me that everything else has to flow into me to fill me up, fill me, fill me, fill me till I burst. That's what'll make you happy. But does that make us feel full and satisfied? I don't know. For me, I ended up feeling bloated and then empty again, bloated and empty again. It was a constant cycle. The sad thing is, people sacrifice their lives to this stuff. They lose their marriages over it because they just don't know any better. Nobody's ever given them a viable alternative. Bernard Levin, I love this. He's a well-known British columnist. He wrote this. He said, countries like ours are full of people who have all they desire, and yet they lead lives of quiet desperation, understanding nothing but the fact that there's a hole inside. And no matter how much food and drink we pour into it, however many motor cars and TVs we stuff it with, however many well-balanced kids and loyal friends we parade around the edges of it, it aches. So many people relate to that, this paradox, that the more we try to fill ourselves up, the emptier we feel. It's like all the rivers flowing into the Dead Sea. You know, that's what the Dead Sea is. All the rivers are flowing in, and none of them flow out, and nothing can live in it. Everything's dead. But what's the alternative? What's the answer? I'm Bernie Diamond, and we'll continue with today's message in just a moment. You know, the more that I think about it, the more it becomes obvious to me that we've managed to get things completely 180 degrees the wrong way around. We think that fulfillment and satisfaction and recognition and significance come when the rest of the world panders to our every need. It sounds logical. It just doesn't work. The more I experience of life, the more I realize how right Jesus was when he said, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Mark chapter 9, verse 35. And yet if the joy and fulfillment and satisfaction come from serving, then, hey, we need to know how to serve. And if you want to know that, you need to know what you're created to do, because we're all different. And that's why I've recorded a series of 10 short messages to help you do just that, to discover your personality type. Now, you can access each one of them online at ChristianityWorks.com by going to the Resources Library and the Personality Types section. That's ChristianityWorks.com. The series is called My Personality GPS. It's all about how each one of us, irrespective of our different God-given personality types, can end up overcoming our natural limitations to live our lives to the full. Okay, let's get right back now into God's Word. One of the things that we're all pretty much conditioned to in life is coming first. Now, we all can't come first all the time, but it's pretty natural, though, that we all want to be first, the best looking, the brightest, the most articulate. Even when we think we have those things under control, though, this competitive spirit, every now and then, it just rears up its head. We want to win an argument, a situation, some minor conflict at work or at home. We want to have the final word. We want to assert our view, our way, our need, whatever it is. To be blunt, we just want to win. And sometimes winning comes at such a high price. Let's face it. If I'm going to be the person I was meant to be, I have to win. Stands to reason, really, doesn't it? Yeah, well, there are some problems with that, this I have to be first thing, because we can't always be first. If everybody wants to be first, nobody would be. And it sets up this thing where we become our own little demigods. And the moment things don't work, we have to throw a little tantrum or a big tantrum. It's how I used to live my life. I expected everybody to bow and scrape to me, and if they didn't, I'd just roll straight over the top of them or through them. And if you were somehow offended or annoyed or disappointed with me, I felt as though you were robbing me of being the me I was meant to be. I was this little tin pot god on my own little tin pot throne, and I discovered, you know, it's not much fun living life like that, especially when you're surrounded by people with the same worldview. The paradox is that being first doesn't work. Now, Jesus' disciples were having a great argument about which one of them was the greatest. You know, the Muhammad Ali, I am the greatest syndrome. They came to Capernaum, and when they went inside the house, Jesus said to them, so, what were you guys arguing about on the road? But they kept quiet, because on the way, they'd argue about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 to him, and he said, look, if anyone wants to be the first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. And Jesus took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, Jesus said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me doesn't just welcome me, but my Father, the one who sent me. Don't you love that? They're all kind of talking behind Jesus' back, you know, about who's the greatest. And I don't imagine that Peter was saying, you know, I think John's the greatest. My hunch is Peter was probably saying, I think I'm the greatest. And John was saying, I think I'm the greatest. Don't you love it? And when Jesus says, so what were you guys arguing about on the road? They didn't want to tell him. Why? Because it's such a stupid argument. And they knew it. And we know it. Then this profound statement from Mark chapter 9, verse 33. If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. Just 17 little words, and he turns everything on its head. If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. He puts his finger on one of the deepest maladies on the planet, one of the things that stops us from being the person God made us to be, from living life to the full, is wanting to be the greatest. Who are the people who are first in your heart? Let me ask you that. Who are they? Well, I'll tell you, they're the ones who have sacrificed the most for you. The ones that you and I hold dearest in our hearts are the ones who loved us when we were unlovable, who put up with us when we were difficult, who were there for us when we blew it, and who picked us up and dusted us off and got us going again. And those people, instead of wanting to be first, instead of insisting on their rights, instead of all that and condemning us and all the things that we think we're owed and we deserve, they served us. And in doing that, they were in fact last, not first. But by being last in our lives, by serving us, they have become first in our hearts. Being first isn't about sitting on our little thrones and winning. It's ultimately about sowing seeds into someone's life through gentleness and compassion and service. If you want to be first, you have to be the servant of all, and then leave a legacy of respect and gratitude and profound appreciation in other people's hearts. Being first is the thing that happens in their hearts when we serve them, instead of what happens in our heart when they serve us. It's an amazing discovery. It turns life right around, and it's pretty simple. It's not rocket science, but it's one of those things we forget in our busyness to make sure that we get everything that we think we're entitled to. I didn't start discovering a life that was being lived to the full. I didn't start living my life to the full until I resigned from my little tin pot despotic role as my own pathetic little god, and I handed the God job over to the one whose job it is. And the amazing thing, as counterintuitive as it may feel, when I started serving other people, that's when I started enjoying my life. Not having to win each argument, not having to come out on top, or not having to be smarter or faster or better or brighter than the next guy. All of a sudden, I wasn't trying to live an impossible life of being first. Life became a whole bunch simpler. I had a peace, I had a joy, I had a rest. I don't have to get angry every time someone doesn't meet my expectations anymore. If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. But more than that, I discovered who I was meant to be. I discovered a life to be lived to the full, that I have these gifts and abilities that God wants to use from me into other people's lives that we were talking about last week. And you and I know that when we do that, it's so incredibly satisfying. We resign from being first and the me at the center of the universe and discover what it means to serve, the pleasure and the fulfillment. And then you know what happens? All of a sudden, in a whole bunch of people's hearts, we have a warm significance, a firstness, if I can call it that, that only comes when we become their servant. Jesus said it over and over again, a profound truth. He said it another way. You can read it in Luke chapter 9, verse 24 and 25. He said, "Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for my sake will save it." What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose their very self? In other words, this is such an important part of living life to the full and being the person God made us to be. We need to resign from the position of God and hand it back to Him. I'm Bernie Diamond, and as we pause, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's program and you'd like to listen to it again, you can do that online right now at ChristianityWorks.com. The name of this series is Living Life to the Full by Knowing Who I Am. Just hop onto the site and go to the Christianity Works section straight off the homepage, and you can listen to this program and a great range of other teaching messages that'll bless you. It's online, it's free, it's there right now. You can even print off the transcript or subscribe to the podcast. See, we just want to see you blessed as God plants a seed in your heart by His Spirit and His Word. That's all at ChristianityWorks.com. And can I ask you to remember to pray for us and with us here at Christianity Works? Each week, literally millions of people will listen to these very same radio programs in over 160 countries around the world. And some of those places are in such desperate need of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Prayer works. And I know that as you and I join together in prayer for all those listening this week, God's going to do a mighty, mighty work. And let's ask God to open many more doors for us to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ in many, many more countries. Thanks so much for praying with me. Well, here we are almost at the end of this series that I've called Living Life to the Full by Knowing Who I Am. I just believe that before time began, God had the most amazing plan for you and me, a plan for who He would make us to be, our very nature, our DNA, what we'd look like, how we'd walk, and a plan for our lives every minute of every day. You can read about it in Psalm 139. And it's a plan that He gives us complete freedom of choice over, a choice to accept it or reject it, a choice to live out the life that He laid out before us before time began, or to go our own way. And that choice, that freedom, is an awesome thing. I mean, it's so very, very God, isn't it? But it's a choice that has consequences. The question I have for you today is, how do you choose? We can't change the past. We can't ever change the past. But from this moment forward, how do you choose? Something I often share with people is the heart of God, the passion He has for us. And it's a passion for a relationship. From the beginning of the Bible to the end, you see Him say, "I will be your God and you will be my people." He talks about walking in our midst and being with us, and it's an eternal plan that He hatched before time began. And we can still be living that plan out long after time ends in eternity. Remember, over these last few weeks, we had a good look at Psalm 139, and the psalmist puts it this way: "God, you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame wasn't hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. All the days ordained for me were already written in your book." Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it such a non-surprise that God wants to have a relationship with us? I mean, He handcrafted us. He planned us. And yet each one of us strayed away from that plan. I certainly did. somehow I had this sense, well, you know, I can do better on my own. Who needs God and all that religion stuff? And in this process of going our own way, what we discover, each one of us, is that our way is somehow empty and hollow, and it doesn't go where we think it should have gone. And we struggle and we fight and we wrestle, and some people even decide to believe in God and go to church, but somehow they never quite get around to making a decision, a big decision, a decision to get with God's plan, to live the life he gave us and to be the person he made us, completely with everything that we are. I'm going to give you that opportunity to make that decision today, to take a step of faith. We'll do that in a moment. But before we go there, I want to point something out. There's a cost. There's always a cost. When we invite Jesus Christ to be the Lord of our lives, not just some distant thing or person we believe in, but the Lord of our lives, when we put him in the driver's seat, this is not some half-hearted thing. It's committing our lives to him, lock, stock, and barrel. Perhaps you're at that point in life where you know there's a destiny out there for you, but somehow it's eluded you. Maybe you've been pondering and considering this whole Jesus thing and thinking, well, yeah, I think I'm ready to invite him into my life. Well, yes, it is an invitation, but it's a two-sided transaction. It's also a giving of your life over to him. And that means we don't always get to have our way anymore. It's his way. Because when we accept in faith that Jesus died for us on that cross and rose again, when we accept that and believe that, then we aren't our own person anymore, because we've been bought at a price, and that price was his life. And so it's not me in the driver's seat anymore, but him. And that's a very real decision. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." That picture of taking up your cross is a picture of crucifixion. It is a brutal picture. And so along the way, there are going to be some things that we will have to sacrifice. Our little tin pot throne, for starters. There will be some things that we would rather do this way, but we'll have to do that way, his way. And here's the rub. When we take that step of faith, no matter where we are in our individual journeys right now, it's a step of faith. But it's coming home. It's a decision to get in step with his plan. The beginning of the most amazing journey. Yes, there will be trials and there will be blessings. But through it all, that's where we'll discover the life that God meant for us to live to the full. Is it any surprise that if God made us to have a relationship with him, then the only place we'll really discover who we are and what we're meant to be doing is in that relationship? This is where the journey's headed. It comes from Revelation chapter 21. It's a picture of eternity, a picture of heaven. It goes like this. "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'The dwelling place of God is with his people, and he will live among them, and they will be his people, and he will be their God. He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the old things have gone and passed away.'" That's eternal life. And it gets to start here and now. Do you want to be the person God made you to be? Do you want to live the life he made for you? Do you want to spend eternity with him? If you would like that, why don't you just pray this prayer with me? Father, we have heard your word today. And somehow, it's touched us so amazingly inside. Lord, we have all gone our own way, each one of us. And we can just see that you have a plan. You've made us to be the person you made us to be. Lord, you handcrafted us. Father, we just want to turn away from our own path today, this very minute, and get with your plan and get on your path. And we just accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. Not just someone we believe in from a distance, but as our King and our Lord, the Lord of our lives. We give our lives, lock, stock, and barrel, 1,000%, Lord God, to you. Father, put us back into your plan. Give us the life we were meant to be. Help us to discover who you made us to be. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. My friend, if you pray that prayer, then you are back in relationship with God through Jesus Christ. As we wrap things up today, I wanted to remind you that it's friends like you who play such a vital role in the work of Christianity Works, because it's through your prayer that we're able to continue broadcasting the life-saving message of Jesus Christ every week around the globe. Had an email from a woman who had just come to faith in Jesus Christ and who stumbled across our programs on air. This is what she said. As a new Christian, there's so much to learn, and I know it'll take me time, but I want to learn all I can, and these programs are adding to my learning every day. Thank you so much. That's what happens when we drink in God's Word. And as I said earlier, please pray for her and the many, many people who have listened to today's message with you around the world, in Rwanda, across Europe, in New Zealand, in the Philippines. Pray that God will do a mighty, mighty work. And particularly for those who prayed that prayer of faith with me just then, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, then I want you to know that God has come to dwell in you and that He's forgiven everything. I really encourage you, find a Bible-based local church and become part of God's family. It's an awesome thing when we accept Jesus Christ into our lives, an awesome thing. But the devil will come and attack you. That's why we need to be part of a faith community and growing in our relationship with Jesus each and every day. That's what Christianity Works is all about, building you up in your faith in Jesus Christ. So thanks for joining me today. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again same time next week right here on Christianity Works with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.